Welcome to the Natural Health 365 podcast, natural solutions for everyday problems. Are you looking for natural health solutions? Visit naturalhealth365.com for a free subscription to our newsletter, free shows, plus some great gifts. And now, here's your host, Jonathan Landsman.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us today. Our show is all about herbal remedies for health and vitality. For thousands of years, herbal remedies have played a valuable role in maintaining physical, mental, and emotional well-being. In fact, every culture throughout the world has used herbal remedies to recover from a wide variety of illnesses, and we see its practice in medicinal systems like Ayurveda and traditional Chinese medicine. There are many ways to use herbs, such as in teas or high-quality nutritional supplements. The main point is that herbalism looks at the root cause of a disease, not just the symptoms. Today, we'll talk to a leading herbalist and nutritional consultant of natural health with over 40 years of experience, who will help us to understand the best ways to improve mental and physical health with herbs. But before we get there, I'd like to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. And now our special guest today is Brigitte Mars. Brigitte, welcome to our show.
Hello, and thank you so much for having me.
Brigitte, you've written a lot of books out there and you're teaching all over the world. Can you please tell those people who may not be familiar with your work, tell us a little bit about your background?
Okay, well, I started working with natural medicine at a very early age. My grandmother was French-Canadian and she was a big practitioner of folk medicine. And my parents would say, those are old wives' tales. But I saw that they really worked and I also felt that this was very valuable medicine for the people. So by the time I was 17 years old, I was managing a natural food store in the Virgin Islands. I lived for 2.5 years in a teepee and ate nothing but wild edible plants. I did go to college. I went to massage school. But for 40 years, I've worked professionally as a medical herbalist, helping clients figure out what natural remedies they could use and writing books and teaching. And I love to show people that there's wonderful medicine very often growing right around you.
Brigitte, I appreciate your time so much because I often find that when I'm doing programs like this and I go out there and, you know, I guess we could call it the real world, there's such a disconnect. You know, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. So many people today with modern society and technology were so removed from, you know, the food that's all around us, right? And you just mentioned in your background, 2.5 years you were living on just these wild edibles. I mean, most people out there would think, you know, how on earth can you just live on something like that? But you really did. And I know you talk about these edible lawns. I mean, where I am, Brigitte, in New York, we're talking about a suburban neighborhood. Everybody has got these beautiful green lawns, right, with just plain old grass. They're putting all kinds of chemicals on it. I mean, it's really sad. I'm sure you would love to see all of that change. Talk to us about what you mean by edible lawns.
Well, we have to think about how much water we're using to grow non-native grasses. It's been estimated that America uses about 30% of their nation's water to grow grass, which is something that we don't eat. As a matter of fact, we use more energy and gasoline to cut it down. So it's a little backward. If you go back to the mid-1800s, people were using their lawns for gardens, for grazing, for animals. And we've come to regard the weeds that come up in a yard as enemies, and yet this was food for people a couple hundred years ago. Dandelion greens are considered one of the top 5 most nutritious vegetables. Our pioneer forefathers and mothers deliberately brought dandelions to this country and grew them and put fences around them to keep the wild animals from eating them. And it's a shame that we've started to regard this as an enemy when we could be eating the greens. The flowers are a good source of lutein, which is good for our eyes, and the roots are also edible and very detoxifying to the liver. And it's not just dandelions. There's plants out there like chickweed and violet and malva that all have a tradition and history of being used as food and medicine. And rather than thinking when they come up in our lawns that we need to get some kind of polluting chemical to destroy those plants, maybe we should stop spraying the chemicals on our yard and create a little sanctuary where our yards offer us salad and medicine.
I know you're going to appreciate this. We've had guests on our show like Daniel Vitalis, and I'll never forget one of the concepts that he brought up, Brigitte. It was this idea of what you're describing right now. So many people have a very twisted perception about what's going on all around them. Here it is, we're suffering with, let's say as a society, we're suffering with inflammatory-related diseases, right? Arthritis and all kinds of problems like this. And they're all around us. Daniel would talk about how the solutions are right outside our door. They're right in front of our face, and we can't even see it. I think that's really what you're speaking to right now.
It's so true, Jonathan. And if we look at wild plants, which many people have called weeds, these plants are survivors. They grow with very little water. They grow despite being stepped on. They survive in our polluted cities. Of course, I don't recommend harvesting anything growing within 50 feet of a busy road or on a yard that's been sprayed within 2 years. But if we look at the strength and integrity of these plants, I think that's the way out of all the malaise that comes from our polluted world. And so when I make a salad, the vitality I feel from eating greens that were growing 5 minutes ago rather than maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, because when you're buying food in the grocery store and it sits in the refrigerator and it came in a truck from somewhere else, how long ago was that in the ground? And I love it when I make a juice. Very often my greens were growing 2 or 3 minutes before I'm consuming it. It makes you feel fabulous. So I'm really here to encourage people to learn about the plants, the wild plants, and let them become part of our health repertoire.
Brigitte, a lot of people may be really turned on after listening to a program like this. Just for a moment, are there like books out there, things that you've been involved with? What would you suggest in terms of people learning about identifying what these plants are, the ones to avoid, the ones that they could consume, and perhaps the ones that they could cultivate in their backyard? I mean, I know that they have those tours of parks. What do you recommend for people to get started?
Well, I think a good place to get started is to go to your local bookstore and ask for a guide to plants in your area, because it's a big world, and wherever I go, and I'm going to LA next week, so I'll bring my, you know, wild edible plants of Southern California. I also have produced a phone app for the iPhone called iPlant that has pictures of over 250 plants, their uses, are they edible, are they used for cosmetics, any contraindications like don't use during pregnancy. So that's called iPlant. And I have a book out called The Desktop Guide to Herbal Medicine. But it is important to start with your own area. I'd say before you start learning the herbs of China or India, learn what you may have growing right around you. And if we would walk more, we would see that nature is just saying, use me lots. I'm everywhere. I'm available for you. And there's great health that can come from that, from these wild, hardy plants. And that's why I did live for 2.5 years on edible plants. You know, stores are really a rather new concept on this planet.
And that's why I also encourage people to have fun, right, Brigitte? I mean, enjoy this. Don't make it like you're going to university and you're studying something that you hate and you see no value in it. Enjoy it. Make a social thing. Go with your spouse. Go with your loved one. You know, just go if you're on your own to be sociable with other people. That's what I was referring to about some of these tours or these walks that they do at some of these state parks with someone with a lot of experience, just like you. I mean, what a great walk it would be if I could just walk around a park with you.
And there are local walks. Again, you're right. Sometimes it's parks or museums or botanical gardens. And sometimes elderly people know the wisdom of these weeds. And when my kids were little and they would say, Mom, I need some money, I'd say, I'll give you a quarter for every plant you can identify when we walk around the block, 50 cents if you know the Latin name, and a dollar if you can tell me 3 uses for it.
Wow, what a great way to teach your kids and to get them some cash. That's a good idea.
You know, also the security, like what if they were ever lost in the woods? And what if there was some sort of cataclysm and all the stores were empty of food and people were waiting for relief when really there might be food already there around us, and we need to respect this.
So, Brigitte, I've done a lot of other shows as well in the past. Even right here on the Natural Health 365 podcast, we've done some shows on raw foods. I want to get your take. You have so many years of experience. Why are raw foods so important for people to incorporate into their life?
Well, I think we have to look at that what we're doing might not really be working. When we look at the statistics in this country about how many people have cancer and arthritis and inflammatory diseases. So one thing we might want to consider is that living food, food that has not been heated to over 114 degrees, is high in enzymes, and enzymes reduce inflammation. And if we look at the list of diseases people suffer from, we have to realize that many, many of them are some sort of inflammatory condition: arthritis, hepatitis, colitis, cystitis, tonsillitis. And any time you hear the word itis, it means inflammation. And what reduces inflammation are enzymes. So certainly a lot of people go to the store and take enzymes to help digestion, but people are also using enzymes and taking them between a meal to reduce inflammation. But we could also be eating a higher percentage of enzyme-rich food. So even though we have wonderful natural food stores, there's still a lot of processed food. It might be organic macaroni and cheese in a box or gluten-free pizza in the freezer, but it's still quite processed. So I'm really asking people to, you know, incorporate more fresh, unprocessed food that is high in enzymes. You'll spend less time in the kitchen and you'll find your energy levels better. A lot of your annoying health conditions may disappear. So I wrote a book called Rawsom, and I think it's something we want to incorporate much more in our diets than we've been.
I think you're making a really good point. I mean, this idea of when people hear about raw foods, they think they have to go 100%. Probably the helicopter view, if you will. You know, the big picture would be just that we are always going more towards natural whole foods, some raw, some lightly cooked, whatever it might be. But this idea of shopping, even in a natural health food store, Brigitte, like you were just pointing out, it's so important to realize that if it's in the middle of the store and it's in a box or a bag, you are talking about those foods having attached to it a lot of other additives. And when we're talking about inflammation, all of these added ingredients, they may not always agree with us, especially if we already have a pre-existing condition.
So certainly, you know, one meal a day, green leafy vegetables and, you know, fresh fruit. I always like to ask kids, you know, what seems healthier, a jar of applesauce or a fresh picked apple? It's hard to improve upon what nature gives us so readily. And certainly cooking food has served humanity in times when people don't have adequate water or refrigeration, because cooking is a means of preserving food. But for ultimate health, I'm really just saying, you know, give this a try and you might find that you have more energy. And one thing to consider is I was eating a large spinach salad and marveling about what a great meal this was for two people. But if we were to cook that large spinach salad, it would make a little measly side portion. And look at the difference. One is really, you know, wilted. I also like to remind people that if you were to plant a raw sunflower seed, it has the potential to grow into a 10-foot-tall plant and produce amazing flour that is going to provide food for the bees and maybe 500 seeds in the fall. And not to mention the beautiful yellow petals are edible. But if you were to plant a roasted, tamarind or salted sunflower seed, it would rot in the ground. And yet you've got two seeds that look identical, but one contains that spark of life that could produce new life. Which one do you think is going to make you feel fresh and vital and colorful and bright? And it's funny, Jonathan, very often when we feel bad, people say things like, I'm fried, I'm zapped, I'm burnt out. And yet we do that to our food all the time and wonder why we feel fried and baked and toasted.
Yeah, I mean, we really do have to be much more mindful of the things that we are actually saying, because it is very telling for our health. You know, in the next part of this program, I want to talk about some very interesting things with you, Brigitte. I mean, certainly the best herbs that you would suggest to people, especially the beginners out there, that we could consume on a regular basis. And also this whole idea of sexual vitality. I mean, we see the Viagra commercials and on and on and on about that. Reproductive issues, fertility issues. It's a really big deal. I want to hear from you about how herbs could help. But before we get there, I just want to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. Okay, Brigitte, why don't we just get right to the best three herbs, let's put it that way, that you would like to suggest to people that they can get started with, and it's something that can be consumed on a regular basis.
Well, one herb that I love is stinging nettle. And maybe some of you have experienced stinging nettle because when you touch it, it does sting you. And that sounds like a very painful thing, and it does sting a little bit. But stinging nettle, when it's dried or juiced or pureed or cooked, does not sting you. And it's such a nourishing plant, really high in iron. It is a traditional herb for strengthening the kidneys. There's been double-blind studies that show its effect in treating the symptoms of allergies. It's actually a wonderful herb for people that have multiple allergies. It builds your blood. It's safe for pregnant women and contains vitamin K, which can help prevent postpartum hemorrhaging. It increases mother's milk. There's a term for that called, it's a galactagogue. And it's a really great tasting herb. I grow stinging nettles and I love to juice it. I also turn it into pesto, and it grows abundantly in Europe. Of course, here we would consider a weed, but it's really a marvelous herb. And Rudolf Steiner, the founder of Waldorf School, said nettles are the heart of the world. Whenever nettles grow in the garden, they increase the essential oil content of any other plant that's growing around it. So that's one that I love. I will also say dandelions, because it grows so easily, and you could eat the greens. They're high in iron, high in beta carotene. They're very delicious if you collect them before they flower. The sap from the stem could be put on a wart to make the wart go away. You can eat the flowers. As I said earlier, they're good for your eyes. And then dandelion root is a wonderful vegetable. Dandelion is in the same flower as sunflower and artichokes. And so it has a nice starchy carbohydrate root that is edible at all times of the year. And one other plant, which is not legal in every state yet, but is hemp. Cannabis could be used as the seeds are a very high source of protein, the second highest source of protein, a vegetable protein next to soybeans, but yet they're much easier to digest. Not to mention all the things that we can do with hemp for making fiber and fuel and fabric. And it also grows really easily. I live in Colorado, so we also have the access to many medical properties for healing pain and helping insomnia and stress and so forth. So those are three plants I would consider if I were going to another planet and they said you can bring seeds from three plants. I think those would be very useful and probably grow very easily.
So let's talk about how herbs can help people. It's a very sensitive topic. Obviously, this is highly emotional area to discuss here, Brigitte, and that is the sexual vitality and the decline of it, I should say, that we're seeing, especially in the United States. I mean, we're seeing the TV ads, as I've mentioned before, where it's like every guy seems to need Viagra like it's a multivitamin. Women, obviously, younger and younger women having trouble conceiving and having to spend an enormous amount of money, Brigitte, on trying to conceive, thousands and thousands of dollars. I mean, it just seems so crazy what's happening, and people are very frustrated and upset. But how can herbs come in and help heal this situation?
Well, we want to keep in mind that sexual energy is extra energy, and sexuality is a reflection of our total health. So if you're depleted and exhausted, one of the first things to go is your sexual ability, because your body knows it would not be a good idea to bring another life into your existence if you don't even have the energy to take care of yourself. So according to the principles of Asian medicine, sexual energy is predominantly governed by the health of our kidneys. So So we can, you know, take care of our kidneys by not drinking too much coffee or alcohol, by getting enough rest, by eating black colored foods like black chia seeds, black sesame seeds, black rice or wild rice, black seaweeds. Those are all wonderfully strengthening foods. And, you know, when people go to a pharmaceutical, they're not really addressing how they can improve their entire health profile. So keep in mind that way before the days of pharmaceuticals, people relied on herbs, and they often referred to them as love potions. So even some of our culinary herbs are enhancing to libido because they improve circulation and they're warming. So I think of things like cinnamon and ginger, garlic. All of those are traditional foods for enhancing libido. There are herbs that can improve peripheral circulation, which is one of the things that Viagra does. Ginkgo biloba, which is considered a kidney tonic as well as a brain tonic. There's herbs like Tribulus terrestris, which is also known as puncture vine, that can help produce the raw material or give the body the raw material so it can make its own hormones. There's a wonderful herb from South America called maca, Lepidium peruvianum, which can be added to smoothies or used to make confections and desserts, that is in the mustard family, so it's actually a very close relative of turnip and rutabaga, that could be used as a food that's also great for enhancing orgasmic ability and enhancing libido. It's also just a nourishing tonic. I'd say take it in capsules as well, and it's something you can very safely use. So there's another book I've written called The Sexual Herbal, which is full of ideas on, you know, foods and exercises. And so ideally, you know, find a partner that wants to go on a healthy path with you, that is into walking and eating healthfully and, you know, doing things that produce health. Consider doing things like partner yoga or taking a massage class and learning how to do body work on each other. I think very often we're just so stressed, or we wait till the last thing in our days to make love when we're already exhausted. So make time for your lover. And it's not only goal-orientated about, you know, orgasm. It's all about how we can weave our lives together and let health be a big part of it, so we have energy for ourselves and our beloved.
What great points, Brigitte. I mean, that's what this is all about. A program like this is to help support someone's goals, any goals that they have in their life. But what you said was huge at the beginning, and that whole idea of, if our lifestyle is such that we're sapping ourselves of energy, then, you know, nothing else is going to really work well. And so we're bringing in herbalism. We're talking about eating a healthier diet. We're talking about living a healthier lifestyle. All of that is going to make us feel better. And then, of course, sexual performance would improve. Our energy is going to improve, and our mental outlook as well. I want to focus in at the end of this program on a very big topic, and that is this whole aspect of mental health. It's another huge area where we see people running for all of these medications that are really causing a lot of health issues. Just by taking these drugs, they're actually causing more depression, suicidal tendencies. I want to get into all of that in just a moment. But finally, I want to thank our sponsor one more time, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit liveonlabs.com. That's LIVONLABS.com. So, Brigitte, let's talk about this. People, they have a lot of anxiety these days, and that's certainly understandable. There's a lot of stress in the world that we live in all around us. People are distracted. They're being pressed to work much harder. The anxiety, the depression. So, how can herbs help to improve someone's mental health?
Well, we want to look at that mental health is not separate from physical health. And according to the principles of Asian medicine, depression, for example, could have its roots in an unhealthy liver. The emotions of anger and depression are both centered in the liver. So rather than going to the psychiatrist and him saying, you have a Prozac deficiency, maybe they should be thinking about what kind of oils are you using? Are you getting enough full-spectrum light? Are you eating enough greens? Are you getting enough of the sour flavor? And of course, there are herbs that could be used, like lavender, St. John's wort, nettles, lemon balm, motherwort, even kava kava. So I have a new book out called The Home Reference to Holistic Health and Healing, and it's full of ideas of, you know, what to do for anxiety, for depression, for grief, heartbreak, all of these things that are supposed to teach us in life and give us character. Anxiety, for example, rather than automatically just going on a pill, we need to look at that anxiety often happens when we have low blood sugar, that maybe breathing more deeply or smelling some essential oils like lavender can change our neural pathways when we're feeling anxious, a supplement of calcium or B vitamins. But anxiety often happens when we've, you know, abused caffeine or are not getting enough nutrients. And there are herbs to calm anxiety like passion flower and skullcap and valerian. So it's a lot to learn in just a few minutes, but there's all kinds of opportunities to learn. We are so blessed right now to be able to exchange information. There's so many good books written, and I really like to encourage people to be their primary healthcare professionals. And if you need some other help, let that be secondary and tertiary. But whatever condition you're dealing with, physical or mental, learn about it and know that nature has had ways to deal with this, and things that are safe that have been used by millions of people, very often for thousands of years.
I know many of you may have downloaded this program already and you're away from our site, naturalhealth365.com. You're listening to this in your car or at the gym or somewhere like that. So if you are interested in learning a lot more about these topics, I really recommend that you please check out BrigitteMars.com. That's BrigitteMars.com. All the books that she's mentioned, they're really great to consume. They can help you to learn. But I love what you said, Brigitte. The idea of knowing something, sure, we might go on a walk or a state park. We might listen to an expert tell us this thing or that thing, and we might pick up a book and read some stuff. But there's nothing like having a single experience for ourselves, right? A personal experience about what it's like to consume dandelion greens or what it feels like maybe to just cut down on that coffee and have some herbal tea for like 3 days in a row and really feel less jittery and to feel so much calmer and stronger and more clear in our minds. I mean, what a great experience that can be, right? I'm sure you've seen that in people all the time.
It's all about loving yourself, and as we do that, we take better care of our planet.
Should there be any concerns as we finish out this program, Brigitte, on certain medications? You know, I know you counsel a lot of people in all of your teachings over the years. Obviously, people in very depleted situations who might be on medications from their doctor. What kind of concerns are there? And do you give out any warnings to those people about making the transition to trying some of these herbs out?
Well, I think that before you embark on taking an herb regularly, you know, you buy a bottle of it and you're going to take it every day for a month, it's good to read about it in three different places just to get a few different opinions. There certainly are herbs that you do not want to use with perhaps high blood pressure medicine, some herbs you don't want to use during pregnancy. And of course, I love to focus on herbs that are really safe for everybody, but there's certainly conditions where you could do too much of anything. And if you are on some kind of medication, some medications cannot just be stopped automatically. Maybe this is something you want to discuss with your healthcare provider and talk about, you know, I'd like to try this. Could I decrease this as I gradually increase this? I also think it's a good idea to separate drugs and herbs by at least 3 hours. So this can be a lifelong study, and there are people who can help you, and you can learn yourself. I do phone consults and Skype consults with people all over the world. So I'd say take charge of your health and learn that as we do this, we can experience greater health, more energy, and we're helping to create a healthier world, because somewhere there's going to be fields of dandelions and lavender and echinacea and organic apples, and I'm all for that.
So am I, Brigitte, and absolutely, I would encourage anyone who's really concerned about a health condition, if you feel like you're not comfortable talking to your conventionally trained medical doctor about these things, I get it. Maybe first you want to get a much clearer understanding for yourself, but I would suggest that it's worth the effort to try to find someone like Brigitte that you can talk to, gain a better understanding, clear perspective, how to go about trying some of these things, and then bring in your doctor, you know, in a smart way so that you can work with them about reducing some of those medications and getting free of them. But it will take an effort, and I certainly feel like it's well worth the rewards. Brigitte, I can't thank you enough. I really appreciate the time that you've spent with us. Thank you again.
Thank you so much. Many blessings to you and your listeners.
The show was brought to you by NaturalHealth365.com. Are you looking for natural health solutions? Visit NaturalHealth365.com for a free subscription to our newsletter, free shows, plus some great gifts. Thank you for listening, and be sure to join us next week for another great show.